Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the It's Become a Whole Thing podcast. I'm your host, Emily Rose, and I'm here with the Laguna Biatch, Kelly Williams. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Me too. I know. Covering Ashley Simpson and Summer House in the same episode, it's like my adult equivalent of, I don't know, when you give a baby like a pacifier and just wrap them up. I'm like, this is my happy place. Truly.
Well, I'm so happy to be here. Like, I'm excited. I watched the episode, obviously, and when I saw you posting about Summer House, I was like, but can we also talk about that?
Yes. Yeah, we do it all here. We cover early 2000s reality shows, which it always feels right to be covering that stuff with you, because you, in my mind, you're like the expert of nostalgic early 2000s reality.
Thank you so much. That is like an honor.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you were doing it with Laguna Biatch like before that was a really kind of like more mainstream thing now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I had like a rewatch, or I guess I started Instagram lives in like 2017. I would go live and like narrate or give commentary on the show. And then like I started a rewatch podcast in 2019, kind of before a lot of people were doing that.
Yeah. And now it seems like every actor from those shows back in the day are doing their own rewatch podcast. And I'm like, okay, maybe leave some podcasting room for us. But I guess there's enough for everyone. So
I always say there should be separate like podcasting charts for like celebrities and like normies.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yeah, if you are a celebrity with a whole team backing you and like 30 people producing your podcast, yeah, you need to be like in your own echelon.
Exactly. I'm like, how am I going to compete with like Sophia Bush and Hillary Burton and Joy Lenz? You know what I mean?
I know. I don't have like a slick Dear Media style studio. Like I got my plant.
It looks very healthy. It looks very healthy.
Thank you. I feel like sometimes the worse my life is going, the better my plants are doing, because I'm just like, this is something that I can manage and that I can fix. And like, my plants are looking lush, but it's neither here nor there.
You're like, so about that Ashley Simpson?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's... I'm like, not me. Just slightly trauma dumping in the minute 3 of this pod.
We're in for a journey on this one, everyone.
Oh, yeah. We're clearly I'm fired up. Okay. I blame the material. It's exciting. Well, I was going to ask you, like, who is Ashley Simpson to you?
Ashley Simpson was like such a big part of my life in middle school, especially. I mean, just hearing the theme song Autobiography, like I haven't revisited the album in a while, but I made that like my AIM away message. And, you know, when she dyed her hair dark, obviously I have dark hair. So I was like, hell yeah, like a pop girl with black hair like me. And she was, it's funny, like coming out later in life and realizing I've always liked women. And like looking back at her, I was like, growing up, I was like, oh, I want to be just like Ashley Simpson. But like, I wanted to date Ashley Simpson.
Important distinction. I mean, could be both. Why choose?
That's true. I could single white female her and be with her.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, also, the thing is, too, she really was in her own category because she was the pop girl with a real rocker edge, mm-hmm. but she wasn't full Avril Lavigne. Avril Lavigne was really in her own category of punk. And I'm saying this, you know, obviously debatable about how punk rock Avril Lavigne was, but of the girls, of the girlies, she was standing alone and really bringing something different to the table.
She was like if Stacey or Rico decided to lean more into rock. Like that is the vibe yes. I get from Ashley Simpson.
Yes. Yeah, actually, as I heard the autobiography song, like it's the theme song for the Ashley Simpson show, I was remembering Shadows and Lala. I had downloaded those from LimeWire and it was like at a time where you really could only have so many songs on your iPod. And so those were in heavy rotation.
I genuinely don't think Ashley Simpson gets enough credit for the music career that she had. You know, even like Boyfriend and L-O-V-E, those songs were mm-hmm. so good. And she came out with songs later, like Little Miss Obsessive, I love. I think yes. that came out like 2018, but she got canceled so unfairly, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But I got to meet her in 2018, I believe, either 2018 or 2019 when she was on tour with Evan. So nice. When I tell you, like, and I've gone to quite a few meet and greets, but she like took time to talk and be like, thank you for coming. And not just like, thank you for coming, but being like, no, for real, like, thank you so much for coming.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that so much. It's funny because I was just listening to, it was an interview with Josh Peck and he was talking about actors, but I think the same applies to just all famous people. He's like, they're either the nicest people you've ever met or the worst people you've ever met. And there's no in between.
Totally.
And so like I love that Ashley Simpson's on the nice side of things. I get that impression too from Jessica, just the family in general. Well, Joe.
I was about to say, let's not go crazy.
Yeah, okay. Maybe not all of them. The sisters.
And listen, Ashley did have her moments. Did she attack a McDonald's worker? Yes. But she's a rock star.
Who amongst us hasn't had her moments? You know? Late night in a McDonald's. I know that's where things happen that shouldn't be documented and put out publicly.
Definitely.
Okay, so we'll get into this episode. So it's Ashley Simpson Show, season 1, episode 2. It's called Ashley versus her label. And I actually realized something. So the way the verses is spelled, it's V-R-S-E-S. And I was like, did they misspell verses? And then I looked it up. And it's versus spelled with a U is like this person versus this person. But versus with the E, the way they spelled it is like part of a poem or a song or like a passage from the Bible. I was like, is this a brilliant pun or like
definitely
did they? Yeah. This show is deeper than meets the eye.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, I was like, okay, whoever did this, hats off to you. I tip my metaphorical newsboy cap because we see a lot of those in this episode. The episode came out June 23rd, 2004. And we like to go back to the top 5 Billboard hits of the time. So we've got quite the selection. So number 5, we've got All Falls Down by Kanye West. Yeah by Usher, Burn by Usher, Naughty Girl by Beyonce, and in the number one spot, I Don't Want to Know by Mario featuring Enya and P. Diddy. I didn't realize Enya and P. Diddy were features on this song.
So neither did I. Maybe they just like wrote a lot of it?
I don't, they're listed as like featuring them too. And I don't know, like them the thought of them existing like in the same cinematic universe is like a lot to process. I can't really handle it. I want to think of them recording separately, like Enya from her castle, just like sending in,
you know, for sure. There's no way Enya was in the studio with Diddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, by the way, justice for Beyond the Blinds. A lot of what you guys have been saying about a lot of rumors is now coming to light. So, yeah, if you, just something to throw in there. So we start this off. Ashley just signed a record deal with Geffen Records, and she broke up with her boyfriend, Josh, and she's really devastated. It's her first love, and she needs to escape LA, just take her mind off things, go to New York. And so that's where the episode takes place. So at first we see her in the studio. She's with her producer, Steve Fox. They're like riffing and songwriting to process her emotions, but she needs to take it further and do some real punk rock shit and get her ears pierced. It was so endearing. She's like, I really need to do something crazy.
Can we talk about, well, hang on, you can cut this out if you want, but are we gonna talk more about Josh down when he leaves like the voicemail, because he's a demon and the public should know?
We will be talking about the voicemail, yes. Oh, don't okay, you worry. So, these episodes are 20 minutes long, so there's all the material that's there we'll be working with. Okay. But to go back to Ashley, to be fair, it's not a regular piercing. She's getting her cartilage pierced. Is it? There's this one street in New York where there's all the piercing places. Am I remembering that?
It right? seems like she went just outside of Times Square, but the person who gave her that piercing was like, so crazy badass looking. Like one half of her whole body was tattooed.
Yep, full half of her face tattooed. Yeah, she was doing it before, I guess, every like other Gen Z has a face tattoo or something. Right. And then I love that she keeps trying to do things, pick up her spirits and keep her mind off things. So the next thing they do is buy a Christmas tree off of this guy on the street. He has like three straggly Christmas trees. He's like out onto the street just trying to like wrangle these Christmas trees, but they get it. They pick it up. Her and her producer carry it, drag it into this nice hotel they're staying in and decorate it. And they're soon joined by Stan, her other producer, who we learn is also the producer for Sugar Ray.
No, he's the drummer. He doesn't
The drummer for Sugar Ray, yes, of course. Yeah.
When she said that, like, I had to pause and text you to be like, no, we have to talk about the fact that Sugar Ray was maybe involved with Autobiography. It gets a little blurry in the middle of the episode, but who would have fucking thought?
I don't know. Sugar Ray and Ashley Simpson were both people that had these really epic but very short-lived careers.
Right.
With their music.
And their hair was a big deal.
Yes.
Mark McGrath's hair, Ashley Simpson's hair.
Yeah, and this drummer, like, I don't ever remember what the drummer looked like, but seeing him, like, he had, like, a loose beanie and, like, a soul patch, I'm like, this makes me feel nostalgic. You look like you would be the drummer for Sugar Ray.
That's how I felt with this whole episode. It was just like such fun nostalgia because, you know, when things are streaming now, music's taken away, but you're listening to like Blink 182 in the background of the Ashley Simpson show. Are you kidding?
I know. They didn't have that, like, you know how there's singers, there's people that make music just for the in-between now, but it was, I know all the in-between music was real and great. It's a very like comfort show. Made me want to watch the whole thing.
No, I totally agree. I actually watched some episodes like after the second episode, but MTV shows always had the best soundtracks.
I know. They really did. As a RuPaul watcher also, I've been very happy ever since they took over RuPaul, or ever since they joined MTV, because now the lip sync songs are a lot better.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just lots of side notes here. So Ashley was feeling really inspired in New York. She wrote a lot, but it was time to return to LA. And she's like, I'm the biggest dork ever. I locked my keys in my trunk. I'm such a nerd.
And I love how, like, the guy who comes to, you know, unlock her door, the car alarm goes off like 3 or 4 times. And she's like, hey, can we not have that happen again? And he's like, yeah, we can try.
Like, I'm going to start saying that to any unpleasant thing in my life. Can we not have that happen again? I mean, not that I know that much more about cars now, but when you're that age, just out on your own, it's like you truly have no idea how the world works. You're like, you're a car guy. Can you make this be like this right now? You just,
I know.
No,
how
concept.
Old was she here? Like 19 or 20?
I think so. She had to be in that range. She couldn't have been that much older.
Yeah, I don't think she was 21 yet. So yeah, I mean, anything happens to you when you're a teenager with your car, you're like, fuck, I'm going to be in so much trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, like even her apartment, it's like, it's not fancy or anything like that. It's very, like, it feels like a first apartment.
Yeah, totally.
Although I guess, I mean, most of us had a dingier first apartment than this, of like a celebrity first apartment. It's nothing fancy.
Totally agree.
But she's singing Fly Away. It's a really emotional song in the studio. And Papa Joe Simpson shows up, who's listening along. It's a little bit of a jump scare when he shows up. I don't know about you. It's
like, for sure. I never want to see Joe Simpson on my screen.
No, although sometimes his brief cameo in Vanderpump Rules is something I still think about to this day. he told the Toms, like, what did he say? Like, guts, get your gut in and stick your dick out.
Yes.
Yeah, that rings through my mind. But that's, he has a very interesting legacy. I also still think about how Jessica Simpson treated him in her memoir, which I thought was very graceful, and like handling him very delicately, because I don't know if he's even out to this day. I think he's just kind of like,
I think he's like managing young talented men.
Yeah, and like dating young men, it seems. Yeah. But like, yeah, whatever. He's of a different time. He's dancing the beat of his own drum. But it's a really emotional song, so she needs to take a breather outside. And her dad, Joe, is with her and saying, like, look, it's an emotional song, so you need to be rested, you need to be focused. Such a stage parent.
Joe Simpson is such a stage mom. It's wild. Like, Joe Simpson and me just, I feel like there were no such thing as healthy boundaries in that Simpson family.
No. No, and he's very much like Kris Jenner in the way of really mm-hmm. viewing his kids as pawns, but brilliant at managing them. So seeing how he can leverage kind of the different images that they had and getting both of them a show.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is a rumor. I don't know if this has been confirmed, but I always heard that Joe really pushed for like the Ashley Simpson show because he knew she wasn't the strongest singer, but had a great personality. So he thought, you know, people get to know her and want to buy her music that way, because they like her rather than like focusing so much on her voice.
Right. I could see that. I mean, you can see the way his mind is working. Like it's very calculated. And I guess Ashley was never known for being, you know, the most powerful vocalist, but it's like, you don't have to be as a singer. And it's unfortunate that there was so much pressure on musicians like that at the time.
Totally. Especially like there weren't like female singers saying that they write their own music and really like owning that they wrote their own music the way she did.
Yeah. And it was like, okay, if you're not going to be doing like choreographed dances, you're going to really have to have something and something mm-hmm. different. But we go to the next scene and Ashley's wearing the biggest newsboy cap I've ever seen. And a stripy polo shirt and a double layer pearl necklace. So that's a 2004 moment. Jordan, the president of a record label, is listening on. He has a backwards newsboy cap and dark glasses inside. So there's a lot happening. But he's listening in on her music and seeing if he likes it. But she finds out the next day, she gets a call from her manager and he doesn't like it. He wants her to be more like Hillary Duff or Kelly Clarkson.
Ashley did not take that well.
No. And it's interesting too now, like, to see there were so many less musicians. So it was like, okay, you know, there are these four girls. Which one are you going to be? Like, which archetype? Are you going to be Britney? Are you going to be Christina or Hilary Duff? Or maybe even a Kelly Clark? And like, that was it. You couldn't just be yourself. Yeah, she didn't like that at all. I mean, she spent her whole life being compared to her pop star sister, but she's still being kind. Like, she's talking about, she gets very upset, but she's talking about how she loves Hilary Duff and Kelly Clarkson, but that's just not her. And she also mentions how screwed up Jessica got from always being compared to Britney, which that wasn't who Jessica was.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, like, re-listening to that, because we, now that we're all older, I think we see it way more clear. And even her, I think she, at one point she brought up Michelle Branch, and I was like, oh, I could see them also trying to fit her to be like the next Michelle Branch. When in reality, if we're going to compare Ashley Simpson to someone, in my opinion, it's like a Fifi Dobson.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Fifi Dobson. True. Canadian icon. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, Jessica Simpson, I forgot how much, like, she came onto the scene, and it was this immediate, like, every interview Britney would get brought up. It wasn't just Britney versus Christina. It was Jessica Simpson was very much in that kind of like triad, and they were even making her dance sometimes, which Jessica Simpson cannot dance.
No, I mean, like, every record label needed a Britney, right? You had, like, Mandy Moore, Willa Ford, Christina. You had them all. And yeah, they were always compared just to Britney.
Yeah, and Britney, you can't just recreate that. You can't just bleach someone's hair blonde and put them on a stage. But luckily for Ashley, she had a very strong sense of self and was really rejecting this notion. And she was upset though, so she tried to go and distract herself. I noticed she changed, she went out to lunch and changed into a smaller newsboy cap. I had to rewind for a second. she has, they bring over some kids to meet her, and one of them shooting a commercial for Hilary Duff, or with Hilary Duff, which was random.
Yeah, that was like a bizarre little scene. And when I was watching it with my girlfriend, I was like, what, how do they know her? And then I was like, Seventh Heaven? I knew her from Seventh Heaven. I guess maybe they could be like fans, but they didn't even say like, I'm a big fan of yours. Just all of a sudden, two children appeared next to the booth.
It felt like they brought them over to mess with her, to mess with Ashley.
It was so weird.
Because they brought her over, and they weren't like, they're big fans of you. They were just like, hey, we've got some like future celebrities. They're going to be working with Hilary Duff. Want to meet them? And she's just trying to eat lunch and is upset. Like, what is the point of this scene?
Right.
But they just, and then the kids disappeared. And then she gets a hateful voicemail from her ex, Josh. Josh being Josh. He talked about how, because Ashley Simpson had been paying for everything for them in their relationship, but he had a new girl who's paying for everything and got them Cristal, and she's upset.
I need to tell everyone this. Josh Henderson is a demon, and he's not famous enough for like people to know that, but he is. So I think he was referencing Lauren Conrad in that, which I thought was really funny.
No way.
Because he dated Lauren for a little bit, like in that time period, but it could have been more like 2007. So I could be off by a few years. So there's the show The Challenge on MTV. Kendall Shepherd, she was on The Challenge. She was on Road Rules. So she had allegedly had a child with Josh. And he said, you know, I want to be there. I want to be a part of this child's life. And then took it all back in like a MySpace bulletin, being like, oh, that child's not mine. It was, and people don't know about it because he's not famous.
Oh my God.
But yeah, Josh Henderson, if you dig like a little bit, I feel like he's like really bad, like a bad person.
That would, like, it'd be the deepest running issues you'd have if like your parent rejected you on MySpace.
Right. What the fuck?
Like, in like a book. Okay, that's why I'm glad for context, because I mean, I assumed he was shitty from episode one. He didn't come off very well. Like,
right.
You know, he didn't, I was going to say he didn't get a good edit. No, he just wasn't acting like a great person, but I didn't realize how bad it actually got.
Right. Like, cool, you're the fifth most popular person from Step Up.
I guess, but like judging from, okay, so we're about to, I'm getting ahead of myself, but Ryan Cabrera is about to come in to the show. And like the way that men like that were rewarded at this time, given so many features,
mm-hmm.
They were living well. It was their time to thrive.
Totally. And then it reminded me, like, Autobiography isn't about Ryan Cabrera for the most part. It's about Josh.
It's about Josh. As much as he was a demon, he was a muse for some incredible music. So,
for sure.
And that's on Ashley. That's not on him. But he was an important catalyst. So she's really upset from this voicemail. But Jessica and her mom rush in. They're really irate, defending her, which was nice to see. And then her and her dad go to see the label of the president of the record label, who, even though he just said earlier that he wanted her to be like Hillary Duff or Kelly Clarkson and didn't like her demo, now when the cameras are there, he's saying, no, I loved it and everything's great and I just really want you to like sing from the heart. I'm like, sure. Okay. now everything's great. You just want her to be herself and be authentic. Like, all right. But yeah, then... And then that's the end of the episode. And we see in the preview for next episode, she's making out with Ryan Cabrera.
Yeah. In that scene with like the guy from the record label and her dad, when she's curled up on the couch or chair, whatever it is, she looks so much like Jessica. Like, I don't think they really look alike, but in that scene specifically, I was like, holy shit, that could have been Jessica sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah. With the blonde hair and certain style. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'm always struck. I always forget just how Ryan Cabrera was everywhere at that time. It's like, if you were making an LA-based reality show in 2004, like, you were legally required to include Ryan Cabrera at least, like, once every 5 to 10 episodes.
Totally. Like, that spiky hair. You couldn't escape it.
He's in Pretty Wild.
The Hills.
The Hills, yeah. I feel like there's others. Yeah, he was king of 2004.
Didn't he marry one of, like, the Total Divas?
Did he?
I think he married someone who was on Total Divas. Like, that e-reality show with the wrestlers.
I don't know, but this is why you're here. Because all the side characters, you've got the information and the rundown on them.
Listen, I will continue my Josh Henderson hate train whenever it needs to start.
It needs to be known. It needs to be known. And I just, and on the flip side of that, part of wanting to do this episode is just in a way of justice for Ashley, because in some ways, cancel culture just isn't very real. No one ever really gets canceled, but Ashley got pretty close to being canceled. And for what? For lip syncing and getting her nose done.
Yeah, I think you could say that Ashley Simpson was canceled. She never really bounced back after that second album. And it's a shame, because even her like show with Evan that was on maybe 2019, like that was really cute. That was sweet. But people are always just going to remember that SNL thing. And it's too bad, because I do think Ashley Simpson kicked open a lot of doors for like Demi Lovato and even Olivia Rodrigo.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And her show debuted, her TV show, in the spring of 2004. And then the SNL incident was fall of 2004. So it happened so fast. And she was really rising, but I guess there just wasn't enough traction, or everyone just really glommed onto it. And it was sad. Like, a couple months later, she got booed by a stadium at performing at a halftime show at a football game.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember we didn't have so many like viral moments back then. You know, every day now we have a viral moment. But back then our viral moments happened at like a Saturday Night Live or the halftime show. Like, we didn't have all these different social media or anything.
Yeah, it's true. There really, yeah, there wasn't a lot of moments. And if something went around, like, I don't even know how they were shared, I guess YouTube clips, but everyone knew it. It was like, yeah, like Janet Jackson at the halftime show. That's true. It was like nationally televised events, or else no one had like cameras on them all the time, so they wouldn't capture these moments.
Right.
Yeah. And I guess now it feels scary now because everyone has a camera all the time, and these things get spread around so fast. But at the same time, I guess that is to people's advantage, because just as quickly as it pops up, people have moved on like 2 days later.
Yeah, we move on from things so quick now just because our brains, in my opinion, we're never meant to see this many things in general, let alone like so many news headlines. We're not even supposed to see ourselves as much as we see ourselves.
No, definitely not. You know? I'm like, as a podcaster, I'm like triggered by the sound of my own voice sometimes.
Same, totally get that.
Yeah. Nothing like having to listen back to your own voice for hours in editing that really makes you question your whole existence. But yeah, so yeah, she was, you know, lip syncing. And on also, I mean, I think this has been talked about a lot, but I just have to throw in that her lip syncing was because she wasn't feeling well that day, and her doctor and her dad advised her to use a backing track. She couldn't finish rehearsals because her voice or her throat was sore. It's not even her who played the wrong backing track. It was her drummer or someone who pressed the wrong button. It's just not, it's not her fault.
It's like, stream Autobiography. Anyone listening, go stream the album.
Stream it and try not to enjoy it. Like, it's impossible. It's
so good.
Yeah. Yeah. She released the two albums, and then she released a third, but it didn't get a lot of traction. I mean, even her second was already kind of not, it did well, but then yeah, she was putting together a fourth album and then just scrapped it. Didn't even put it out. So I feel like all the people that I don't want to see coming back from that era are coming back, mainly Justin Timberlake. And it's like her and Hillary Duff are like nowhere to be found. And I'm like,
well, she's teased that she's been in the studio, and Demi did get her on stage like last year, I think. So I think Ashley Simpson's like starting to get open to it.
Okay. I've heard this, and I didn't want to get my hopes up too much, but I would love that.
It's the 20th anniversary.
It would be amazing. I know for Hillary Duff, people have asked her, she's like, no. Just straight up, fine. Like, no, yeah, she's like, I don't have time. It's like, okay, fair enough. Look, if I had those kind of royalties, I'd be like, I'm good, I'm chilling.
Totally.
Yeah, so yeah, that's Ashley. If she does come back.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
That would be amazing. Okay, now let's switch gears, as Andy Cohen likes to say. Let's talk about Summer House. Mm-hmm. And I have a question for you, Kelly. Are you on something? What am are you I? On? No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
Oh my god, I was like, oh my god, I took an edible earlier today. No. I was so scared for a second.
Oh my god, Kelly, I'm so sorry. I
Did I look so scared?
No, I've just been, this is my fault. I've been turning to people. I've even been like turning to my boyfriend. I'm like, what are you on? And he's like, what? He doesn't even like watch this show. It's an issue that it's what I'm thinking about right now is Summer House. Well, you said, we said this. This is why like we're just lumping this in because it's such a good season. And I think I texted you this, that it's just like, I'm realizing it's this fact of life that we cannot get a good season of Summer House and Vanderpump Rules at the same time.
Totally. Totally agree.
It can only be one.
Well, I'm glad Summer House is back because this is probably my favorite Bravo show.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really watch like Housewives or anything. I just couldn't get into it as much as I try. And I get why people love it. It's just like, I'm more so like the like younger friend groups, like Jersey Shore even, you know, those kind of shows. I like better.
There is something really nice in the depths of winter of just watching people party and have fun in the summer. It's really nice. And it's not as, it never gets as dark as the Housewives.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's not as much like screaming. The screaming on the Housewives is why I can't like fully embrace.
Yeah. It's a bit triggering. It's a lot. But Summer House, even when they're dealing with issues, it's still, if it's like manageable and it's not as like, I don't know. It's not like your Erica Jane, like Widows and Orphans or like,
right. You know, it's Sierra and Danielle throwing glasses at each other. It's like, that's doable.
Yeah. And that's like, that was
crazy.
Yeah. Mostly it's just, yeah, people having too many beers and going back and forth and then passing out, or like someone coming in and breaking the tension by doing something silly. So who's your favorite on the Summer House cast? Mine's been Lindsay, but not really.
This is probably one of my most I really like Danielle. I think Danielle is one, like, I see where she's coming from. Her delivery is always wrong, but I see where she's coming from. But I really love Kyle Cook. I know he's a monster. I know he's a menace, but I think he is just such a good character for reality TV, where it's like, you know, he's screaming about like how Lindsay needs to get it together, whereas like he's doing the exact same thing she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I mean, I wouldn't even call him a monster. You know, like he definitely, he could ease up on
he's the no booze. Jax Taylor.
Exactly. Like, yeah, he's cheated. He's still in party mode, you know, into his adult years. He gets a little angry. But like, yeah, he also loves, like, I can't get enough of watching Kyle like walk around in the middle of the night talking to himself.
Yeah, falling asleep eating cookies in the pantry. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, yeah. No, he is really good for the show. And in the same way that it's not even that I would say Lindsay has been my favorite because I love her, but I just love the TV that she creates.
Totally.
Because there's such a – I just have always gotten the impression that she would be exactly the same if cameras were rolling or not. And all the gals, like – Paige and Sierra, like I'm now coming around to them and I'm glad they're on the show, but the last couple of seasons, like seeing their depression bed, that is truly like triggering to me. I'm like, girls, get up, because I'm in my bed with all my mess, but I'm watching you guys and you need to be doing something different.
I agree. I almost felt like Kim Kardashian. I'm like, my reality stars don't want to work. They don't want to get up and be reality stars.
Yes. When they push their beds together and we're like, actually, you guys want us to get a bed? We're going to be in an even more giant bed and we're never leaving. I was like, I can't give up on the show, but I want to right now. Like, totally. Enough. But yeah, I've come around. I just watched all of Southern Charm, and seeing Paige out of the Summer House environment, I actually found myself really enjoying her there. So yeah, I've come around to the gals, and I'm really glad about the way that they recasted. Sam and Corey, don't care, glad they're gone. Maya cutting the mic when it's time to get anything happening in your life, I'm like, okay, yes, obviously this is, we need her off the screen.
Right.
And yeah, with Wes and what's his name? Jesse Solomon. It really felt like they were trying to cast a young Kyle and Carl, but it works.
I totally agree. And I think Jesse is going to be the one to really light the fuse with Carl and Lindsay. Because what, we're 2 weeks into them fighting? And Jesse's like, dude, this is nuts. Like, what? Why are they fighting all the time? Why are we? And I can just picture a drunk him at some point being like, why are you two even getting married?
Yes, he likes to meddle. Like, mm-hmm. The flirting with Paige, like, he definitely is bold. And Wes, like, I have a big crush on Wes. I think a lot of people do right now. He's so, like, charming and awkward and funny. Yeah, it is a great, like, it's a great simmering tension. It's also hard, too, because a lot of reality shows, I feel like, are trying to recreate Scandoval, and it's like, stop. Like, we don't need more of that. But this is really, like, a situation that we've watched the buildup to it, basically, for 8 seasons. And right. So I do want to see it through the whole Lindsay and Carl blowing up, but it's happening so much faster than I thought.
I agree. And I have to say, I am so frustrated that 2 weekends in a row, Carl and Lindsay's fights happen off screen. And that's why I can't take Carl's side 100%. Because he is doing things off screen. Do I think Lindsay is some angel? Absolutely fucking not. Lindsay's never been one. But like, for Carl, just for the fights to both happen while they're in, like, lifts or whatever, that's purposeful.
Yes. So we've seen Lindsay do a lot of awful things already. And, like, I do want to talk more about that. But Carl really does seem like the type of person who, as soon as the cameras are off, to switch gears. I believe Lindsay that she's seen a darkness to him that no one else has seen. And also, like, he's very slick, and to be like, what? Like, I'm perfectly calm and reasonable. And it's like, you don't just get sober and then you're fixed. All your problems are fixed. Like, it doesn't work like that.
I totally agree. And it seems like people are forgetting Carl screaming at Jules or screaming at housemates in the past. And yes, he was under the influence, but I think you can just look at Carl and see he's not a happy person. Like, you can see that he has, like, his jaw's always clenched. He's always on edge.
Yeah, he's someone who, like, it feels like there's just always something brewing and, like, ready to burst out. And it's like, yeah, the way that they treated Jules, the way Carl specifically, like, it was so shitty. And just, like, the undertones were awful. And, okay, yeah, he was very drunk, but it's like, alcohol doesn't make you have values that you don't have otherwise. Like, someone who is just simply, like, they don't have it in them to, like, mistreat women, like, they're not then gonna, like, drink and mistreat women. Like, there's the seeds of those things are there.
Totally. I totally agree with you. And, like, I've always said Carl gives me bad vibes. And, you know, I do believe he's sober. But I also think he should start saying, like, alcohol free, because he is using substances. And, like, I haven't drank in 6 months, but I would never say sober because I'm, like, taking edibles and stuff. And people work really hard to live a life without taking anything.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's something to be really proud of. Like, that is something to be very proud of, to say I'm alcohol free. And it is not the same as someone who, you know, couldn't even, let's say, like, have, like, weed, or that is a different, and obviously, you know, this is a topic for a lot of debate, but there's nothing wrong. And in fact, it's a very commendable thing. So I do wish that people could just celebrate that more. And, like, that's enough to be like, you know, hats off to you.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know. It's also hard because everybody on the show loves Carl and doesn't love Lindsay. So I don't know. Obviously, I don't agree with Lindsay calling him cocaine Carl. I don't agree with how she's handled any of this. But I do feel like there's a big part that we're not seeing, which is those lift rides.
Yeah, it's really like, it's incredible how much tension that they've come in with. Like, they're so, like, both of them are clenched and every comment feels like passive aggressive and biting. And even when they're like trying to have fun, it feels like people are play acting like an engaged couple. Like, it never feels real. And Lindsay, I feel like Lindsay is being manipulative in that I feel like on some level, maybe she, and I need to see the whole story play out, but I'm wondering if subconsciously she's trying to get Carl to break it off with her.
It really seems like they're both trying to get the other one to break up with them.
Mm-hmm. Like the other one to just be like, hey, should we be doing this? Because she's just pushing him and pushing him. And seeing the way, like, Lindsay is someone who, her, the way that she acts about therapy and therapy speech, it's like one of my least favorite types of people to be around, in the way that she weaponizes therapy speech. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, she feels like she's like, okay, I've identified my triggers, therefore that's it, that's all I need to do. Like, everyone needs to be aware of that and tiptoe around that. Not like, she's never like, I need to own my own shit. And seeing how, also the way that she's so like convinced that it needs to be this weird balancing of the scales.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think, like, even when she was talking to him about like the sports bar thing, it's like, I saw where Lindsay was coming from, right? Like, where they were in New York's like a very small bar. It's very kind of like niche, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but if you're having a sober sports bar, that's not the same thing. But again, she's not, it's like she has no patience for him, because with Carl, like, we've seen his work ethic, right? We've kind of seen it throughout the seasons, but like, Lindsay can't even be like, hey babe, I think that's like a really good idea, but I don't think it makes sense for now.
I know. It makes you think of, have you heard of the Gottman Institute? And like, mm-mm, the concept. Okay. They put out a lot of content about relationships, and the concept that I always come back to is the idea of a bid. So their theory is that like, it's the biggest predictor of whether a relationship will succeed or not is whether you accept each other's bids. So a bid could be anything like, do you want to hang out? But it could even just be like, oh, look over there. And then like, someone looks, versus like, oh no, I'm busy. You know, and I don't know, that's kind of reductive, but it's like, him saying that is like a bid, and you can disagree with it, but it's like that instant rejection, like, no, you fucking idiot, with that attitude. That's like, we all say stupid shit all the time, and it's up to our partner to not jump on us for everything. Like, yeah, Carl sounds like completely lost at this point. He spent $20,000 on a life coach and still doesn't know what he wants to do with his career, and then wants to open a brick and mortar non-alcoholic bar, which is, it's just very hard to make money off of that. Like, people can do it, but it's a, like, probably one of the more challenging business models I could imagine. So yeah, I'd be like, no, but just say it, just be nice,
right? You can gently let someone down, but I don't think Lindsay and gentle like go together. No. But I do like Weston Sierra a lot. So I only know Austin really from like Summer House and Winter House. I never got into Southern Charm, but I know that man's not funny. And I really wish Bravo would stop being like, she dated a goofball before. I'm like, Austin Kroll seems like an actual monster. Like, what I said about like Kyle earlier, like, that's actually Austin.
Austin is tall. That is the one feature. That's what he's got going for him. I think he's 6'4", something like that. And that's his claim to fame.
Listen, I have seen him chew, and I don't care how tall that man is.
Well, like, seeing him play with Sierra and like be so dismissive and like, yeah, whatever, like, take or leave it. It's like, I don't want to see this dynamic where like it and like model slash nurse Sierra is like having to chase after this guy Austin. Like, you know, that's partly on Sierra, but I'm like, no one should give Austin that pleasure, like, of being like, I don't know, Sierra, I'm not really feeling this right now. Like, no.
Sierra is one of the most beautiful people I think I've ever seen, ever. Like, not even on reality TV, just ever.
Yes, I know. I know. Seeing the cast of Summer House, like partying all day and also walking around in their bikinis, like, just with cameras at every angle, I'm like, wow, this is... You guys all have this, like, supernatural confidence. But, like... And, like, you know, the looks to back it up, but I'm just... Amazed.
I know I said this, like, I was on a different podcast, but how do we see Kyle Cook's asshole from every angle, but we can't get a Lyft camera or a Sprinter van? Like, bravo. What is happening?
We have a black light camera set up for when they're banging and with the lights off. And, like, yeah, we can't, like, or okay, so with the whole not having cameras, I've heard that they cut the cameras at 10 p.m. with Summer House. And that they just use the cameras, like, that are around the house.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I do know that most places in the Hamptons just won't allow filming.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think maybe they're like, okay, well, we're not going to be filming at the bar, so why would we be filming in the car? But at this point, I'm like, you guys aren't even following them around full time. You've got 3 days of the week. Just have a camera with them as much as physically possible, or encourage them if they start fighting. Someone needs to open up their cell phone. I would take a blurry audio, whatever. We would all take some totally. Grainy thing, anything to see what actually went down in the lift.
Totally, totally. And I think Summer House is probably one of their more popular shows, so why not put money into it?
I know. It can't be a lack of budget. I'm like, this show must be the easiest show to make because they're not, like, going around, like, L.A.
They don't even travel.
No, they're in one house, a summer house, and you're filming them for the weekend. Like, just give
right,
us cameras.
Or you might film them on, like, a Wednesday in their apartment.
Yeah. I mean, they go for, like, some B-reel, like, footage of them, you know, doing this and that around New York. But it's not, they're not, like, in the weeds with them during the week. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's, okay, going back to Austin, I'm kind of wondering if Lindsay and Austin, if, like, they're each other's true love, or if, like, Austin is Lindsay's one true love.
Well, it's funny because I feel like watching this show, it's like Amanda and Carl should be together and Kyle and Lindsay should be together. Like, they're, like, kind of the same relation in their relationship. Like, Amanda and Carl are more similar and Lindsay and Kyle are similar. Like, obviously, Kyle and Lindsay don't get along because they're the same person.
Wow. I hadn't even thought of that. It's true. They are similar, except Kyle has the charm. Like, he has the charm to smooth out. Like, he has, like, the funny, like, the mullet, you know, mm-hmm. and he has little one-liners and everything. Lindsay is very compelling, but, like, charming, she is not.
No, she's a bull in a china shop.
Yes, in, like, every room she walks into and, like, see...
In every lift, apparently.
Yes, in every lift. And, like, seeing it now, if you've watched from the beginning, it's like, so I'm with you on that. I think there's a lot with Carl that we need to see. But
should we bring Steven back?
Yes. Yes. It's
people.
It's
don't like... Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, it's crazy that there's been 8 seasons and, like, one gay cast member.
Totally. And that gay cast member said, Carl, remember when you told me the best blowjob you ever got with was from a guy and then the man was never seen again?
Yes, he has disappeared. It's true. And that's something that gets, like, glossed over. Like, it has that same thing with as, like, Vanderpump Rules, where it's like there's these weird gay undertones, like, weird, and then it's, like, addressed but then not addressed and, like, very much thrown aside.
Totally. It's funny. I was talking about that with my girlfriend, and I was like, straight girls don't go down on each other. That's just not, like,
call me crazy.
Call me crazy, but none of my straight friends have been like, hey, you want to give me a try? Like,
yes. And, like, for Carl, like, that, for him to say that, like, that's not just like, oh, I was fucked up. Like, he's like the best of his life. I'm like, and Carl's seems like he's slept with a lot of people.
And he got pissed when Steven brought that up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're like, if you're going to get that pissed and defensive, like, there's definitely something there. But yeah, Steven vanished after that. And it's like, it's so weird because it's not like you need to be like a couple to be on the show, or you need to be like, you know, rich, like a housewife. Like, mm-hmm. There's not really any prerequisites other than you just being like fun. And so like, can we get some more like, I mean, yeah, a little more like diversity in that sense. It's very strange.
I totally agree. I mean, yeah, that house needs a gay man to get like wild and really like really rile some people up.
Yeah, stir the pot or not, whatever. Like, just yeah, let's mix it up. I do. Yeah, that's why I'm so excited for Summer House Martha's Vineyard to come back, because they've just come in strong with like a little mix of everyone and great dynamics. This is, and like,
that husband's not gonna be on.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's actually like deployed, so he's not gonna be on this season.
Oh my god, he got the most embarrassing worst edit. So like, TBD if he's actually deployed. I need to look into this, because Martha's Vineyard is like my biggest soapbox of like, I always talk about it because I feel like it's so underrated, but I need to look into that. But okay, yeah, so with Summer House, like, okay, Amanda and Carl and, or yeah, Amanda and Carl and then Lindsay and Kyle, like, in another universe that would work, but I think in this universe, yeah, they would destroy each other.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but they both, yeah, Amanda and Carl both have that kind of like a little uptight, a little like particular.
Maybe not like the hardest workers from what we've heard from both of their partners.
Yep. Yeah, not the hardest workers. And then Lindsay and Kyle are the ultimate like work hard, play hard. Like,
yeah.
Always, they're always an 11 out of 10. And like, oh yeah, I know what I was going to say before. Watching the show from the beginning, every single relationship that we've seen with Lindsay, she's this dynamic has taken place in some form or another. So that's why, as much as I'm like, yes, show us this lost footage of Carl probably being a dick, I'm also like, Lindsay, we've seen Lindsay like,
true,
not grow like since Everett.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. I know I'm always harder on men, that's just who I am, but yeah, like, Lindsay's obviously like, how many sandwiches have you made me?
Oh yeah, I mean, yes, I get reviews on my misandry that I spout on this podcast, but I'm just like, I'm genuinely terrified of Lindsay this season. Like, and I was also just thinking, like, if this was like a man who would be yelling at people in the same way, and just this, it's like
Jax Taylor.
Yeah, like it would be scary. I'm gonna see how the rest of this plays out, but I do know Danielle was asked if she's team Lindsay or team Carl, she said team Lindsay.
Of course.
Well, I wonder if that's just because of their friendship, or maybe there's also more that we're going to see as the season plays out.
Well, I thought it was interesting on the Watch What Happens Live after Summer House, it was Trishel and Carl. And I think she was asked, like, are you team Carl or team Lindsay? And she looked at Carl and she's like, I know the edit that women get on reality TV. She's like, I have to stand with Lindsay on this one for now. And the way that Carl was so visibly mad was wild. I mean, of course he's going to be pissed, right? Like, I would be mad too. But he was wearing it so heavily.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, in the same way that I said it, I'm like a little scared of Lindsay. Mostly just when she's activated, like her, just even like, the volume of her voice is like, woo. But like, Carl is scary in another way of like that anger, but like seeming calm, that it's unsettling.
Right. And I mean, we saw it last season when she wanted to go out and he didn't want her to, but he wouldn't say, no, don't go out.
Yeah, they have no communication skills at all. And
I can imagine it's like really frustrating, right? Like, these two got along great as friends, right? They're best friends and they're getting in their later 30s. They probably thought, hey, we've been great friends. This is kind of going to work. And then we can get married. We can have kids. We can do all the things that society tells us is right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also like fighting that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know. I know. And I feel for Lindsay, like, I know, like, for me, I didn't really want kids. And then I hit 30 and it was like this temporary moment of just this pressure. Like, I never felt pressure to, like, get married or be on any kind of timeline, but it was this weird, like, oh, clock's ticking. Like, and I was single. I was like, oh my God, do I need to, like, put myself out there? Do I need to, like, make a family? And it was so strange. And it really, like, took over my thoughts for, like, a year or two. And I mean, for me, I shook out of that and now I'm very much back to, absolutely not. But yeah, I really feel for her with that pressure. And I know, like, you know, technology is different and women can have families, people can have families in all different kinds of ways, but just the pressure to, like, she wants a family and she is, like, getting older and is feeling that, like, just wanting to settle down.
Right. And I mean, Carl's brother passed away. I'm sure he wants to give his mom, like, grandkids. And even if he doesn't want it himself, he may not know he doesn't, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's, like, just that extra pressure too, I'm sure.
Oh my God. Yeah, actually. Yeah, it was definitely, like, it was this weird, like, for me, dealing with death and then being like, oh, I guess I'll just create a new human. Like, that, it was like this instant reaction. And like, whatever, if that's how people feel and then they follow through, like, great. But it was for me, it was just temporary live. But it's like those types of extreme life events are very disorienting. Like, what Carl's been through with, like, the death of his brother, then getting sober, and then having to basically, like, discover who he is.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't given himself any of that time. So I'm not buying that he's grown and evolved as much as he's coming across. Cause when, like, everyone said it, he jumped right into a relationship. That's why it's kind of advised against of rushing things with someone new, especially someone who's a little volatile like Lindsay.
But right.
Yeah, it's, they have, they both have certain kind of just meanness that plays out on TV. Like,
yeah, in different ways.
Yeah, Cocaine Carl, I'm like, Lindsay. And she also called him, like, she was like, old Carl, like, this Carl. And I was like, stop referring to this character. Like, you know, that's your fiance. And
right.
And, like, yeah, she just couldn't shake off. She's like, well, he questioned my drinking, so of course I'm going to question him.
And I almost kind of, again, Lindsay apologist, I can admit it, when she was like, but what do you do? What do you do? And he's like, I smoke weed. And she's like, see, you're not sober. So I think she's trying to be like, you need a substance to stay in this house too. But, like, obviously not a conversation for camera. Thankful it was captured on camera, but I don't think she was, like, wording it that way.
No. Well, she was wording it in a way of, like, that really it seemed to undercut the work he's done with sobriety.
Right. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a way of being like, yeah, okay, like, you, there are some things you do. So I am valid in just asking, like, hey, did you smoke weed today? Like, you're allowed to ask that. And I was reading through, it was like a thread of different people who have been partnered with people with really in recovery with big substance abuse issues. And they were just talking about the stress that they've felt from just kind of, like, worrying about relapses and, like, looking for signs and seeing their partners going through relapses, but no one else notices because they're really good at covering it up and having this, like, they're like, you seem crazy in that moment, but you know something's off. And it leads you to have this fear in the relationship.
So to get a little personal, like, my mom growing up, she had really bad alcohol problems. She's sober now, which we love, but I remember, like, talking to a therapist and, like, seeing this play out. I think that's why I have, like, an extra soft spot with Lindsay, to be honest, because I'll never forget this quote. It was, the addict will always make you look like the crazy one to other people. And, like, that is playing in my head so much with this. And I hate to say that because, like, obviously Carl has worked hard. So, but I also see maybe where Lindsay's coming from.
And so that's completely understandable, especially also then paired with how much we know that reality TV manipulates and always gives women a worse edit than men by far.
Right.
And how much we're quick to forget all of Carl's stuff and kind of throw it aside. And that's, it's still like, it's still being like respectful of the person, but to acknowledge like, okay, this is an illness that when people are like in the throes of it are secretive and manipulative, like that is part of the whole thing. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, of course, like, if that's the person you care about most in the world, you're going to also then worry if you're in Lindsay's spot. I do get it, but like the bull in the china shop, like
he's like, you're on cocaine. She's not being, are you on something? Or like, can we talk about what's going on? She's like, cocaine, Carl. It's more life, Carl. It's season two, Carl. Fuck him.
What? Oh, yeah. More life, Carl.
More life, Carl.
Yeah, they keep showing a reel of more life, Carl. I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And two, like, even though they're mic'd up, we're not seeing everything. Mm-hmm. And even when you're in like a healthy relationship, if like one of you is just in a bad mood, it might be these like little comments that are just being made that aren't like anything that you could show to someone and be like, they're so mean. They're just like these little things that build up and it's like, stop it. You know, like that can just happen with someone that you just spend a lot of time with on both sides.
Right. So, it's like, I know what you're trying to do. I know what you're up to.
He could have just been like really grumpy and kind of rude for the rest of that day. I'm just not buying this very buttoned up Carl, like with his little politician answers.
Yes. I'm glad we're on the same page, Emily.
Yes. Yes. No, I really am. And like seeing him on Watch What Happens Live, like it's just, yeah, it's very like feels rehearsed and mm-hmm. yeah, he's got his glowing veneers and his whole, God. They were a little glow in the dark. I was like, oh, okay, but that's all right, whatever. And that's not related to anything. I just was like very struck by that. But so yeah, funny. it's all a little too, I don't know, it's a little too like neat and tied up with a bow. And I'm like, that's not how any of this plays out in real life. Yeah. Well, that seems like a great place to wrap this up. Tie this with a bow. Kelly, this was so lovely to have you on the show, back on the show.
Thank you for having me. Anytime you want to talk Summer House, I'm here to talk, and I'm open to changing my mind about Carl. I do want to make that clear. I'm open to, I can flip on anything.
I mean, yeah, we have the right to flip-flop, and I do many times, sometimes week to week on this podcast. So really depends on what mood I'm in. But yeah, Bravo. I mean, we've kind of like grown up with the cast of Summer House. We've seen mm-hmm. them evolve. So yeah, our opinion's going to change. But, and also I think all of us, me included, maybe we could stand to remember that it's just a TV show. So if we have different opinions, like it's okay, listeners, like this is not that serious. So there's that too. Anyhow, if you're not already listening to Beyond the Blinds, I don't know, maybe you don't have an internet connection, in which case, how are you listening to this podcast? But go check out Beyond the Blinds. And yeah, thanks for joining us.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.